Want to virtualize your biggest workloads? Bring the performance of cloud computing inside your data center with the only server built from the cloud up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest of our series of TechNet Radio discussions in a series that we're calling Virtualization Did You Know?, where we're going to discuss the facts and facets of Microsoft's virtualization solution that, if you are currently only using some other virtualization platform, you probably didn't know, but definitely should. My name is Kevin Remde, and I'm a senior technology evangelist on the U.S. Developer and Platform Evangelism team at Microsoft, and I'm your TechNet Radio host today. Jeff Woolsey is my guest today, and he's a principal program manager focusing on Microsoft's server and virtualization technologies. Now, like many of you, I've enjoyed many years of Jeff's conference keynote demos and foundational presentations at large conferences such as MMS and Microsoft TechEd. So I really couldn't think of many others who I'd want to have here to discuss these set of little-known facts about Microsoft's Hyper-V and virtualization solutions. Jeff, welcome.
Hi, good morning, and welcome. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, thank you. Well, before we get into today's topic, why don't you tell us just a little bit something about what your focus is at Microsoft?
Thanks, Kevin. Yeah, I'm a principal program manager in the Cloud and Enterprise division. I've been focused on a wide variety of technologies. I've actually been working on virtualization now for over 16 years, some of it at a startup before Microsoft and 10-plus years here at Microsoft. And holistically, I work in the server division, work on servers, and I focus a lot on virtualization, but I also look pretty horizontally across the entire stack, including storage, networking, and more. So it's a great, great pleasure to be here today.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure to have you here today, too. Very important role at Microsoft, so we really appreciate it. And I'm really looking forward to your insights into these little-known facts. And in our first episode, we had Varun Chabra on the recording, and he introduced us to this list of virtualization did-you-know facts. And we had the opportunity to discuss the first two of those items, the 10 items on the list. So I think that having you here today is going to be really a great opportunity for us to get down this list and maybe comment on some of these facts. Does that work for you?
That sounds great. I think there's a lot of things that people don't realize just how far we've come with Hyper-V and, in fact, just where we are in the industry right now. So let's get started.
All right. Terrific. So next on the list, Hyper-V in Windows Server 2012 supports twice the physical memory, twice the number of active VMs per host, and 32 times the maximum virtual disk size compared to vSphere 5.1.
That is definitely the case, and what's interesting, and I want to be clear here, that's a Hyper-V in Windows Server 2012 that we shipped over a year ago. That's August of 2012, and at the time, the current version of vSphere was 5.1, and yeah, we pretty much exceeded and beat their scalability numbers across the board. Since then, vSphere has been going, VMware has been going as fast as they can to catch up to Hyper-V, and in some cases they have, but in many cases they're still behind. One of the key scalability numbers that our enterprise customers and cloud service providers are interested in is the number of cluster sizes, the number of nodes you can fit in a cluster, and the number of VMs in a cluster. So let me quickly walk you through some of the key scalability numbers. So with Windows Server 2012 and with Windows Server 2012 R2 Hyper-V, we support physical servers with up to 320 logical processors per server. That is a huge server. To put that in context, that's a 16-socket server. Each socket has 10 cores, and then you enable symmetric multithreading. That's how you get to 320. Mm-hmm. And Hyper-V has supported that with Windows Server 2012 and, of course, with 2012 R2 as well. From a memory standpoint, we support up to 4 terabytes of physical memory per host. From a virtual machine standpoint, we support up to 64 virtual processors per VM. And I want to point out that's both in Standard Edition as well as in Data Center Edition. But in fact, Standard and Data Center Edition have exactly the same feature set. The only difference between Windows Server Standard and Data Center now is simply the licensing. With Windows Server, you get two licenses for two OS instances within virtual machines. And with Data Center, you get unlimited. And quite simply because of that, and because of the fact that people are looking to virtualize and create their own private clouds, we've seen a just tremendous increase in the adoption of Data Center Edition. So again, you get 64 virtual processors per VM. You get up to a terabyte of memory per virtual machine. You get up to 64 terabytes per virtual disk in a Hyper-V 2012 and later virtual disk. And I should point out that that is per disk. I get that asked a question asked quite a bit. Jeff, is that per virtual machine? And actually, no. We support up to 256 disks per virtual machine. And then on top of that, we support up to 64 terabytes per virtual disk. So if you actually do the math, it comes out to over 16 petabytes per VM. So it's a crazy amount of storage, but quite honestly, you're going to run out of physical storage long before you run out of virtual storage. And then, of course, the big one, of course, is the one that our enterprises and service providers care about, is the cluster size. We support up to 64 nodes and 8,000 virtual machines in a cluster. And that's way beyond VMware, even including their vSphere 5.5. So we did this, by the way, in case you're wondering, specifically because we had customers ask us for this level of scalability. They want to be able to create these large scale-up clusters and be able to really pack them on in a really dense fashion. So we're really excited about that. And with Server 2012 R2, we continue to lead the industry in terms of scale. And the other guys are still trying to catch up with vSphere 5.5. And honestly, they're still behind us.
Wow. And now, I mean, what I'm also amazed by is the fact that we give you all this capability for minimal additional cost. And can you tell me what that minimal additional cost is?
Yeah, that minimal additional cost is free. And in fact, this is a good idea. This is a good time to point out a couple things. So Hyper-V is built into Windows Server 2012. It's built into standard and data center. It's also built into the client. A lot of people don't realize that Hyper-V has been built into Windows 8 since Windows 8. And what's great about this, it means our developers, our IT pros, they can author VMs on their surfaces, their desktops, their laptops, whatever, create those virtual machines and actually move them to server. And guess what? It all just works. Because everything that you do on client is fully supported and is fully compatible with everything you do on server. So it's a really great story end-to-end for our customers. And this is simply built into Windows.
Fantastic. All right. Well, let's move to the next item on our list, shall we? Did you know that with Hyper-V, you can perform unlimited simultaneous live migrations? Unlimited.
Yes, and this is a big one. Every time I talk with a room full of folks that happen to use the other guy, they kind of raise their eyebrows, go, really? Unlimited? What does that mean? And really what it means is Hyper-V itself has no intrinsic limit. It's really limited by the amount of hardware you're willing to provide. So for example, if I've got two servers and I simply have gigabit Ethernet, all right, probably I can do two, maybe even four virtual machines live migrating simultaneously. If I've got 10 gigabit Ethernet between two servers, I can probably easily do anywhere between 10 and 20 live migrations simultaneously. If I've got dual teamed 10 gigabit, you could easily do 20, 40, even a little bit more than that live migration simultaneously. And in fact, with quad teamed 10 gigabit, we've actually demonstrated publicly live migrating over 200 virtual machines simultaneously. And the reason why this is important is because guess what? Networking is getting a lot faster. 10 gigabit used to be, you know, kind of the outlier. Now 10 gigabit has really become much more commonplace, and we want to take advantage of these much faster speed network fabrics. In fact, 40 gigabit is starting to reach the market. And what's really interesting is, you know, when you talk to you see what's going on in the industry, people are already talking about how do we get to 100 gigabit? In fact, how do we get to terabit Ethernet? And the great thing to understand is with Hyper-V, you know, we've pretty much future-proofed your investment because we've already done the scalability work in 2012 to be able to do unlimited simultaneous live migrations. And as your network gets faster, we'll perform more live migrations. Now when you go to 2012 R2, we've actually supercharged this even further. So in 2012 R2, we're adding two awesome new features in terms of live migration. One of them is now compression. So by default now, in 2012 R2, one of the things we'll do is we'll use a little bit of your CPU in your server, and will actually compress the memory of the virtual machine in line during live migration. And what we see on average is at least a 2x performance. It's at least 2x faster to live migrate on busy workloads that are actually going and under pressure. But on live on VMs that are, you know, relatively calm or not doing too much or the memory isn't churning, we've seen easily upwards of 6, 8, even 10x performance improvements with just compression. And the great thing about compression is it doesn't require any specific hardware. It literally works with any server you've got today. So 2012 was already leading the industry with unlimited simultaneous live migration. 2012 R2 adds a support for compression. And in fact, we're adding one more type of live migration in R2, which is what we call SMB Direct. And basically what this allows us to use is to take advantage of some technologies that we delivered in Windows Server 2012, specifically for the scale-out file server. We're bringing that technology to live migration, and in fact, we're taking advantage of some hardware capabilities known as Remote Direct Memory Access, or RDMA. With RDMA, this allows us to essentially, you know, be able to really reach into the memory remotely of another server and move that memory over extremely fast, securely, of course, and at the same time not incur any overhead or any CPU utilization at all, because this is using the NIC offload, the RDMA capabilities in the NICs themselves. So what we see with RDMA is the performance is even ridiculously even faster than anything we've ever seen before, and allows us to deliver even more value. And to just kind of give you some rough numbers of what I'm talking about, is you mentioned you've seen me do some keynotes. One of the keynote demos I did at TechEd, both in Madrid and in North America, was I actually did a live migration demo. And in the demonstration, I've got a virtual machine with 8 gigabytes of memory. It's running SQL Server. It's running an OLTP workload, and this VM is under heavy load. This is the absolute worst possible scenario for live migration or vMotion or any sort of live migration technology. So the VM has 8 gigabytes of memory, and it's under load, so the memory is constantly churning. With Windows Server 2012, it takes about a minute and a half. With Windows Server 2012 R2, with our new compression technology, it takes about 35 seconds. With Windows Server 2012 using SMB Direct over RDMA, it takes about 9 seconds. So you're talking about blistering performance, and going from a minute and a half to 35 seconds down to 9 seconds is just, it's truly amazing. And in fact, during our development of Server 2012 R2, we had some of our early adopters testing Hyper-V with SMB Direct and some of these capabilities. And they didn't realize it could be done so fast that they thought it was actually erroring out. They're like, wow. I just did a live migration and it's already done. There's got to be a bug here. And we're like, no, it's finished. And they couldn't believe it because it was so fast. So we are really pushing the boundaries on live migration and where this technology is going on. Because when you go to cloud and you start to talk about, you know, 64 nodes and 8,000 VMs and needing to move at that scale, every second, every 10 seconds, every minute you can shave off a live migration has real operational benefits. So we're really excited about these capabilities.
Oh, definitely, and I know the industry is as well. I also really love the story that I believe it was you that told of the testing and trying to figure out how much scale we could actually throw at this and putting more NICs involved and eventually coming to a point where, gosh, we weren't seeing any performance improvement. You couldn't figure out why, and it turned out there was a new bottleneck that you didn't predict.
Yeah, we actually pushed live migration so far that we ended up putting in a whole bunch of NICs, putting in a whole bunch of storage, and we kind of reached this point where we couldn't get it to go any faster. And the funny thing was, we actually ran into limits in the server itself in PCI. So we actually were on a PCI Generation 2 system, and we actually upgraded it to a system with PCI Gen 3, and that enabled us to push the performance even further. And then we actually ran into this, and I'm not kidding, we actually ran into performance bottlenecks of memory itself. blew me away. It's been a long time since I've seen anything that was ever bottlenecked by memory. And so we went from slower speed, like I think it was like 1066 or something like that, to like 16 or 1800. I don't remember the exact speeds. But basically, we saw the case where memory actually improved performance. That's how fast and how much Hyper-V can harness the power in your server now with live migration in 2012 R2. So just huge benefits across the board for everyone.
Oh, that's fantastic and great information. All right, so I think we're ready to move on to our next one here. I have one about Windows Server features such as network and storage virtualization. We include in Windows Server 2012, and I'm wondering if you knew this, we have features such as network virtualization and storage virtualization at no extra charge, and that's unlike our competitors. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, this has been really amazing. I just got back this last week. I was in New York talking with a whole bunch of customers. I've been in Australia. I've been kind of all over talking with customers and understanding kind of where they are on the journey in their cloud journey. And what's amazing is how many people don't realize what we delivered in 2012 in terms of networking and storage. Certainly Hyper-V got a lot of just exceptional press, and everyone is thrilled with what we're seeing in 2012. And in fact, we're seeing, before I forget, in terms of adoption, Hyper-V adoption is, we've hit the hockey stick, folks. We are seeing just crazy adoption. I mean, we are seeing it literally everywhere now. The days of people deploying just the other guys and saying we're that, it just doesn't exist anymore. I'm talking with some of the largest VMware customers out there who basically said, yeah, we're setting up Hyper-V Server 2012 clusters everywhere. And now we're back with R2 and we're adding so much value in a year. They're really just pretty flabbergasted with what we're delivering. And another key capability beyond just virtualization, but it's network and storage virtualization. So from a networking standpoint, I don't mean to bash the other guys, but I got to say, you know, VMware's been talking about vSphere 5.5 and their new network virtualization and touting that all over the place. And while I think that's really great, they're a year behind us. We shipped all of this in Server 2012. And in fact, you know, we built it into the platform. While they spent over $1.2 billion to buy a company to deliver this capability, we simply built it into the platform itself. Network virtualization is simply part of Windows Server 2012. You don't need to buy anything extra. You don't need to license anything extra. It's simply part of Windows Server 2012, and it's built in R2 as well. And you know, it's no extra cost. I've been pretty shocked to hear that, you know, it looks like the other guys are introducing some sort of SDN tax, and looks like VMware is going to be charging customers per VM for network virtualization, which honestly is shocking to me. SDN is something you need. It's just critical to the cloud, and it's something we simply built into the stack. It's built right into Windows Server. It's managed through System Center, and it's all there. And so we've got a tremendously powerful software-defined networking stack, and we're doing a lot of work with our partners in the industry. We're going to continue to push to make it even easier for our customers to use. And finally, one last thing I want to point out about SDN is everyone's kind of been talking about, you know, how it's brand new. Over the last 24 months, I keep hearing everyone talking about how it's new and no one's ever done it before, and it's this brand new technology. And I kind of have to chuckle, because this is how we've been running Azure for years. Mm-hmm. You know, Azure is not managed by individuals making changes on routers and switches and stuff like that. It is completely automated. It is completely SDN. Our vice president, Brad Anderson, has mentioned on many occasions that, you know, we can make up to 50,000 network changes on Azure a day. You don't seriously think humans make those changes, do you? You want the fabric to do that. You want to apply policy to the fabric, apply resources to the fabric, and let the fabric do the right thing. And that's exactly what we're doing. So it's tried and true. We've been doing it at Azure for many, many years. We're excited to put this capability and add this into 2012. And in R2, we've made it even better by including a new multi-tenant gateway. So there's a tremendous amount. And honestly, we could easily spend an hour just talking about networking virtualization. On the storage front, we've also done a tremendous amount of work in 2012 and now 2012 R2 to really add some critical capabilities to storage and storage virtualization. So in 2012, we introduced our scale-out file server. And our scale-out file server is really fantastic because what it actually delivers, quite simply, is we now provide fault-tolerant storage built into Windows Server 2012 and later. And if you want to create a scale-out file server, put a whole bunch of storage behind it, we virtualize it with a technology we have called Spaces. This allows us to pool those disks, aggregate those disks, and present resilient fault-tolerant storage with Spaces. Then we use our scale-out file server to actually present that storage. And again, it's scale-out, so you have multiple scale-out file servers that are all talking to common storage. And so if a server goes down, if I want to go yank out the power cable on a scale-out file server, guess what? The other one continues right along without any service interruption, without any loss, and in fact, without having to do anything to the applications. It's completely transparent to your applications. So this is fantastic work that we all delivered in 2012. And now with 2012 R2, we're introducing three new capabilities to make this even better. Number one, automated storage tiering. So now you can mix and match. You can put traditional hard disk, rotating media, and you can use solid state hard disks, put them in and aggregate them in Spaces. And now we will automatically put the hot data in your SSDs and put the cold data in your rotating disks. And so this allows us, honestly, to do some amazing things and really embrace SSD. Now, that's one capability, but there's also, you know, in addition to hot automatic storage tiering, sometimes you get spiky workloads. Workloads that say all of a sudden, you know what, I need 1,000 IOPS or I need 10,000 IOPS, and they're very spiky from time to time. So because of that, we introduced the write-back cache. Write-back cache allows us to absorb those big spiky workloads, pass those on directly to the rotating media, but service the quickly spiked request very quickly, and it just does a sensational job at that. And then finally, there's a third technology called pinning. You may have some specific data that is always hot. It's like a database, or maybe for if you're doing virtual desktops and you want to put a VDI golden image and pin it to the SSD, it means it's always running out of the SSD. So you always get fantastic performance. And these new capabilities are all built into Windows Server 2012 R2 and really enhance our storage virtualization. So that's just a quick flyby of these new capabilities that we delivered in 2012 and later. And I think we'll probably have to have a follow-up at some point because, quite honestly, these are technologies that we easily could spend hours on each one of them. But it's tremendous, and it's awesome, and it's all built right into Windows Server today.
Included in Windows Server, improved in Server 2012 R2.
And, absolutely.
That's great. And my next fact that we want to talk about also does actually address storage. And I think you've addressed a little bit of this, but maybe we can talk specifically about storage costs. Because we have enhancements in storage in Server 2012, as you talked about. We have great high availability available now with the continuously available file servers and failover clustering for the sake of not only things like storage, but also virtualization. And we can actually reduce the storage costs by almost half by the technology that we support. How do we do that?
Yes, well, there's really some amazing things going on here. In addition to all of the work that we've done with SSD to really, for example, allow us to deliver IOPS and then take advantage of using your traditional rotating disk to give you the capacity you're looking for, we've also had a tremendous focus on HA. Like I mentioned, the scale-out file server is truly scale-out. So you can have a two-node scale-out file server. You can go all the way out to an 8-node file server, just like you would see on some really high-end SANs. We can go all the way out to 8 nodes on a scale-out file server as well. In terms of high availability, though, the entire stack is, like I said before, it's fault-tolerant. So we can handle enclosure failures. We can have disk failures. The protocol, SMB3 now, has multiple capabilities that give us high availability. So for example, it's multi-channel. It has the HA enhancements in it. So for example, if you've got servers talking to a scale-out file server and a node goes down, guess what? It'll automatically reroute it to another node in the cluster. Or if you add a node to an existing scale-out file server, guess what? It'll automatically load balance it across the scale-out file server. If you decide you need to remove one because you need to take it down because you need to add some, do some hardware maintenance, add some storage add some memory or something like that, you can do that and you can bring these up and down, add and reduce nodes in the cluster without any downtime. But then on top of all of this, We also introduced deduplication as well. So when it comes to costs, now all of a sudden we're talking about, look, if I want to run VDI, which is an area we targeted for deduplication, you can put those images up on a scale-out file server, enable deduplication, and dramatically reduce your costs. And one of the reasons why we focused on VDI for deduplication of live virtual machines is because that's the scenario where you're going to see a dramatic amount of deduplication. For example, if you've got a whole bunch of SQL servers running, it's very unlikely that you've got common data across all of those databases. However, if you're doing VDI, it's very common you're sharing a number of images or a number, there's a lot of commonality between those images. So when you factor in, you know, all of these different enhancements, whether it's the protocol, whether it's spaces that's giving you resiliency, we have two-way mirrors, we have now three-way mirrors, whether it's deduplication, whether it's, you know, all of the enhancements we've done to make the entire stack completely fault tolerant, it just does tremendous, it delivers so much value for our customers. And in terms of the storage costs themselves, if you go to our Microsoft.com, www.microsoft.com, and look at our cloud, you'll see that we've got some white papers that talk about this and go in depth.
And that's, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with regard to all the capabilities and functionality that help decrease the cost. But I think even in the consideration of the infrastructure itself, the high-end storage solutions that most people use that get some of that capability and then some, when we can instead use Windows Server as a foundation, use cheap disks as a foundation, use technologies such as SMB3 and SMB and multi-channel connections in SMB, as well as technologies built into Windows Server for multi-path I/O, for connectivity to traditional storage. I mean, these are all things that are just included with the product.
Yeah, and this is literally all mainstream hardware. We're using x86 servers. We're using SAS controllers. We're using JBOD. We're using SSD. We're using hard disks. We're using mainstream hardware that everybody can easily use, everybody can easily purchase, readily available. And when you think about it, that's exactly how the top cloud providers on Earth actually deliver their storage. I get this question asked all the time. Jeff, what SANs does Azure use? Azure doesn't use SANs. Azure uses direct attached storage. And we've learned from running at this scale that, you know what, you need to keep those storage costs extremely low. And we've taken those investments and those learnings from running our public cloud, and we're delivering those in our private cloud with Windows Server as well. So that's why we've made tremendous investments for network and storage virtualization in 2012 and 2012 R2. And you're going to see us continue to do that even further going forward.